All right. Again, thank you for being here. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Somebody's like, that was very insincere of me. I'm sorry. Thank you for being here. And again, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers here. I realize we're starting a little bit later than normal. And so I will talk fast if you listen fast. And we should do pretty good here. You're probably looking at the scripture thinking, what in the world are you talking about from that? Now, I'm not specifically talking to mothers today, but the subject matter that I will talk about this morning definitely applies very, very strongly to mothers. When we think about influence, we think about how somebody, maybe with a negative spirit, can influence people to do the wrong things. Sometimes they can maybe don't influence them to do the wrong things. They influence them to do no things. Remember the 10 spies, right? There was 12 spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And the 10 spies, because of their negative and wrong attitude, were able to stop God's people from doing what they were supposed to be doing. And it cost them a lot. It was very damaging. But as damaging as we think about bad influence, a godly influence can actually be inspiring, can actually help us. We have one of our missionaries that's from our church. He's in Phnom Penh. It's Kanaro Keel. Kanaro, years ago when we were at the old building, he was I think he may have been on deputation or he was coming back to report, and he was giving his report and preaching the service, and he was talking about how Pastor Esposito inspired him. But it didn't come out the way he tried to make it sound. He said that he was inspired by Pastor Esposito, and his quote was, because if God can use Pastor Esposito, he can use anybody. Okay, that wasn't quite flattering. It's not what he meant, okay? It just didn't come out very well. But God can use good influence, and great influence is actually a very, very good thing. You think about it this way. When Jesus was on this earth, he was here for only 3 years. And when he left, his disciples after him made a great impact in this world. In fact, you read the book of Acts and you see all the things they did. You know, they were accused of turning this world upside down. Do you know who that started with? It started with 12 that he spent 3 years with influencing and training for when he left. Now, we know one of them went bad. The 11 men that he had were the men that went out and God used to start from there and spread out to influence this world. I want us to see that this morning. As we were reading our text and we were trying to spit those names out, which are not so easy to pronounce, we see that there were 3 Philistine giants that are taken down. When we think of that, we hearken back to Goliath. The first one was Sippai. He was the son of the giants, maybe even Goliath's son or in his family. If you know Goliath, Goliath was a big guy, 8 to 9 feet tall. He was huge. And so these guys were of that same stature. He was taken down by Sibbecai, who was one of David's mighty men. The second was Lammai. He was the brother of Goliath. He was taken down by Elhanan. The last, his name is not even given. His description sounds exactly and very close to that of Goliath. And just like Goliath, he did the same thing. He got up and ran his mouth and he defied the armies of Israel. But Jonathan, David's nephew, stepped up and took him out. When the Bible speaks of these giants taken down, it's a little bit different than when David took Goliath down. There's no long stories. There's no drama. These giants stepped up. Somebody else stepped up and took them down. It was very decisive on their part. Now, if you read in Samuel, this same story is given, except before this story is given, there was actually a fourth giant. And David was at war, and David was a little bit older than he was in his early, fighting days. He was a great warrior. And one of the giants was going after David to kill him. And Abishai, one of David's three leaders, took him out. And the people decided, David, you can no longer go out to battle. Your giant killing days are over. But the days of killing the giants were no longer over. What happened is others picked up the slack. So that when the giants reared their ugly head, there were other guys that said, we're not going to put up with it. We're going to take them down. Now, as I thought through this, I've read this so many times. As I've thought through this over the years, I've always thought how that when Goliath was there, no one wanted to step up, no one wanted to do anything, and David had to do it. And these guys here, they just stepped up and they just did it. No drama, no nothing. Why? Because they had seen and heard a great example of how it was done before. They had already seen it done. They had already known that Goliath came and ran his mouth and no one would do anything. And David said, I got this. And David took him out. Look at verse 8 of Chronicles there that we read earlier. It says, these were born unto the giant in Gath. And they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. The second part, the men that died by the hand of his servants, was because of the first part, because of the hand of David. In other words, David's influence inspired others to step up and face the giants without fear and take them out. Amen. Influence. Amen. All of us will face giants in our life, will we not? Some of us face the giants of something that's health-related. You may face the giant of some strained relationship. Maybe it's something that's out of your control or something that started before you were a Christian and you're still dealing with this. Some of us face hardships in our careers, financial stress. Some face emotional turmoil. All of us are going to face spiritual battles. Maybe you're fighting some type of sinful activity or something that you feel like you're in bondage to. All of us also, not only do we face giants, we also need to be a person of influence. Do you know if you're married, you can be an influence to your spouse. You are to be an influence to your children. You are to be an influence to your extended family. You ought to be a good influence to friends and people that work around you. This world should look at Christians. Our society should look at Christians, and we ought to be the right kind of influence. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? He said that we are the light of this world. We are to be the ones that bring light to this dark world. He also said we are the salt of the world. The salt, what does that mean? Salt is something in those days that preserved. It spread something that kept good going forward. Isn't that what we should be doing in this world? That is what David did. He influenced the next generations of warriors to stand up without hesitation to the giants of their day. And these young men that heard the story, and I think of Jonathan, his nephew, who actually that was in his family, so it was very strong. And this time, that was different than when Goliath showed his head. When the next time the giants showed up, there was no delay, there was no indecisiveness. Someone stood up and said, not this time. I'm going to take you out. We are to be influencers. We are to inspire others to defeat the giants in their life and the giants of our generation, just like David did. But how did David influence them? That's what I want to spend a couple minutes on today. Let me give you four thoughts on that. And that's for all of us and mothers, and this is Mother's Day. You do this in your family as well. First of all, David was able to influence others because someone had led the way. In other words, when no one would stand up, David showed and led the way. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at some verses there, the prototypical chapter of David. taking out Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you would, please flip over there, and verse number 10. And I encourage all of us, when we come to church on Sunday, to have a Bible with us. If not, I would encourage you to get one. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10, it says, and speaking of Goliath, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon. I do know this. An army's purpose is to fight. So they're lined up, ready for battle. And here comes Goliath running his mouth. And he says, hey, give me somebody that will fight together. Verse 11. And when Saul, the king, why is that a big deal? Saul, the Bible tells us, was head and shoulders above all of them. He was the biggest guy in Israel. Fact of the matter is, he should have stepped up, but he didn't. And all Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. You think about that. Here, I can't imagine these men out here for battle and for war, and you got the Philistines on one side, you got the Israelites on the other side, you got the big mouth coming out saying, send somebody out here, and they, from the king down to the youngest soldier, were afraid, and they did nothing. But not David. Look at verse 32 of Samuel chapter 17. It says, but David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. David said, Saul pulled him in and said, wait, you know, I'm hearing you want to fight. And he's like, don't worry about it. I got this. I got this covered. Don't let anybody be afraid. I will go and fight against the Philistine. Do you know what we really need in our churches and in our families, and in our societies, in our society? We need people that are willing to stand up to the right thing. We need people that'll stand up to the giants of our days. Someone who will not look at the size of the giant and be afraid and not step forward. Somebody who will not look at the fear of others around them and allow that to keep them from doing what they need to be. We need people that just say, you know what? If something is brought into my life, if something needs to be dealt with, let's deal with it. See, we're so afraid that we will not say anything about anything. We just want to hide in a corner. Our society, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited this morning, and please don't take it that way. We have created a bunch of cowards who are afraid to lead, speak up, and do the things that they really believe in their heart for fear of what others may think. I'm not saying be a mean-spirited goofer, you know, that any of that stuff. I'm not for that either. But the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't be quiet and silent when a giant shows their ugly head. And let me just say this, a lot more people believe the right things than are willing to stand up for the right things. Go ahead. You ask somebody, how many genders are there? There's two. There's two. They know it in their heart. And they won't say it because they're afraid someone will look at them like they're some kind of uneducated idiot. No, you're not. It's two. I mean, come on. The gender reveals are going to get seriously weird. Okay? It's pink. It's purple. Oh, blue. Blue. And we had a gender reveal for my Allison's last child. And they had a little football. Actually, it was on America. Actually, the video made it to America's funniest videos. How many? Did anybody see that? They had a little football. It was in our backyard, and Jason kicked it. And the football went sideways and hit their little brother, who was a year and a half. It hit Asher in the head, and it blew up. And he's in a cloud of blue smoke, and he's blue on his face. Oh, it was hilarious. I got the video on my phone. That's my favorite video. But I don't know if you know this. It was blue, but her daughter, Haven, should have been pink. The doctor got it wrong. Okay, but you don't get it wrong after they're born. Okay, And so look at the majority of people believe the right thing. We're just afraid to say anything. Well, that went over very well. Let's move on. Can I just tell you something before we move on? Please, please, please stand up to the giants for the sake of your family. You know what children need? They need boundaries. Oh, you know, I'm just going to let little bunny Fufu do whatever they want and they'll figure it out. That's your parent. That's part of parenting. I think Joseph said it. Mother is not a noun, it's a verb. It's what you do. You're mothering. And we're afraid to tell our children what to do. We have a society of 5 and 6 year olds running the home. Not where I live. And I know, you know how it is with grandkids. Oh, the grandkids could do whatever they want. Not at my house. Okay? I do kind of give in to them on some things, but they don't run the place. I just load them up with sugar and send them home. We need that in our churches. We need churches that are not afraid to go to a church that will challenge them to live for God and make a difference in this world. By the way, our church needs to make a difference in this world. We need that in our lives. See, David did not plan on, David's whole thing was not being a role model. David's whole thing is, this is the right thing to do. And because he did the right thing, he ended up being a great role model. We need that in our society. And I hope that I challenge you to do that today. Let's not just give in to everything that people say are right. Someone has said, all that is needed for evil to prevail is for good to be quiet and do nothing. Right? I mean, you know the story of the emperor's new clothes. It's a childhood story. I don't know if it's Aesop's Fable or one of them, where these men come in and they tell the king that they have this special suit they created and only wise people can see it. And they showed it and the king couldn't see it, but he didn't want to be considered unwise, so he goes, oh, yeah, I see it. And so he wore it one day. It was invisible. There was no suit. And as he's walking down this road with nothing on, everybody's like, oh, that's a wonderful suit, because they didn't want to be told they weren't wise because they couldn't see it. And finally, a little boy stepped up and said, hey, the emperor's got no clothes on. That's called common sense. I hope that we'll do that. Secondly, I got to hurry. David was a good example to these men because someone had lit the way. You see, it was dark times. Look at 1 Samuel again. These are the verses we're looking at, verse 23. And as he talked with them, David is there, and I'll explain that in a minute. He wasn't even in the army. Behold, there came up a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake concerning the same words, and David heard them. See, Goliath had been doing this day after day after day, and no one said anything, no one did anything. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled for him and were so afraid. I mean, here's David. He's not even in the army. He's just there. And he sees this story he's heard about, and everybody's running, and they are all afraid. Everybody was afraid. Here there are soldiers. They're out for battle, and they're afraid. But David didn't do that. David was there and said, I'll restore the light. You guys can be afraid, you can be fearful, but there is no need to be afraid. We live in very pessimistic and depressing times. We can. And if I were to sit there and think about that, I would get depressed. But can I just tell you something? I'm saved. Can I just tell you something? I know God. And can I just tell you something? There's no need for us to be depressed. There's no need for us to think that we're living in darkness, because if that happens, we'll stand around and do nothing but whine and complain, but never do anything about it. Or the worst thing is, we get so negative, we get used to the way things are, and we say, oh, well, that's just the way it's going to be. It doesn't have to be that way. We have to, you know that darkness can be disposed of? But we must realize how dire the situation is. We must stand up and say, I will do something, and we bring light to the situation. Quit being negative. I read this when I was in college. I remember there was a little cartoon newspaper, Ziggy, and I'll never forget, I read it. And Ziggy was kind of like a different type of Charlie Brown, right? Everything was always bad for him and always depressed. And in the little cartoon, someone went up to him and said, hey, Ziggy, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And Ziggy looked at him and said, yes, but when the tough get going, the going gets tougher. Isn't that how we think? Oh, well, there's nothing we can do. Yes, there is. When things get dark, you have two options. First, you can sit around in the darkness and do nothing and just get used to it. You think about it this way. If you're in a room that is with no lights on, your eyes do eventually adjust. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you can see, but the problem is you can only see a little bit. You're still going to get up and run into something. They're not going to adjust until you can see completely right. That's what a lot of us do. Like, oh, it's dark, but you know, I could just, no, why? You know, the second thing is we can just stand up and do something and things can change. Let's quit being so negative. Thirdly, David's example, someone had lived the way. Look at verse 28 and 29. Of 1 Samuel 17. So David's there, he sees this, and David's like, someone needs to do something about it. Goliath's a big mouth, he needs to be taken out. Verse 28, and Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down thither, and with whom hast thou left thou few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Eliab starts criticizing him like, you're just here to see what's going on. You're just being proud. Go home and take care of the sheep. You're not in the army after all. And look what David said. David didn't argue with him. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? David said, isn't there something here that needs to be done? David didn't see it out of pride. David didn't see it out of being a big shot. David just said, this guy is running his mouth and someone needs to take care of it. No one else wanted to do that. David was just doing what he thought was right. David saw the importance of what he was doing. David wasn't like, this wasn't machoism, like, I've been training here and I can take this guy out. Now, David did have some background, right? He took out a bear. How many of you ever taken out a bear? Okay, good. David took out a lion. How many of you ever taken out a lion? You know, that to me would instill some confidence, right? He didn't do it with a gun. He like grabbed, David grabbed, I'm not grabbing a bear. I was going to say I'd climb a tree, but bears can climb trees too. You say, well, you're with two people and a bear chases you. What do? Outrun your friend. That's what you do. But David wasn't relying on his confidence. David wasn't relying on machoism or manning up, and I'm all for manning up. David was rooted in, there's a cause. There's something greater at stake here than just this big mouth. It's what he's doing. It's what he's doing to God's army. It's what he's saying about God. And David wasn't going to settle for it. We do that, right? We just settle for comfortable Christian life. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to do anything. We want a quiet Christianity where no one talks to us about our faith and we don't have to explain it to anybody. It's just between me and God and we never say a word. We want a battle-free Christianity where we don't have to fight sin. We don't have to do all these things. And life is not like that. If you want to just ignore the giants that come your way, then you're going to struggle to live like a Christian. I'm just going to tell you. If you're not fighting sin in your life, sin wins. By the way, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but these uninformed, that's a good way, uninformed individuals, well, let's just give peace a chance. Listen, if someone's chasing me with a baseball bat, I'm not giving peace a chance. I'm gonna grab my own thing, and I'm gonna defend myself. How can you have peace when someone's trying to cut your head off? How do you have peace if someone's chasing you with a gun? Oh, I'll just tell them that I'm for peace. I know, and then you get shot. Okay, sometimes that's not an option. Yeah, I'm all for peace if that's an option. But if the other side doesn't make it an option, stand up and let's go. That went well. You must speak the truth in our life. Don't be afraid to kindly tell people what you believe. Now, don't jump up like, okay, here's what I believe. But sometimes they ask you. Just, that's what I believe. You asked me. I didn't ask you. We got to commit in our life. Understand that being a Christian requires a certain style of life, one that guarantees that we will face giants. Amen. Come on. Let's look at every soldier there.
They didn't expect to have to fight?
You're a soldier. That's why you're in the army. You're there to fight. What in the world is going on? Oh, this giant's chasing me. What did you expect? I went there so I can get the schooling. Come on. I want the retirement benefits, and those are great. But if you're in the military, you're probably going to have to fight sometime. If you're a Christian, sometimes you got to just step up. Sometimes, look, I'm tired of pacifism, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm talking about we're getting the snot beat out of us, and we just want to sit here. I don't know if I can beat that guy. Well, I know if you don't fight back, you're going to get beat worse. All right, moving on quickly. That's not going very well. You say, well, I can't win. Look, you may not win. You may not, but go for it. I know if you quit, you won't win. I remember years ago, we were playing. We had a really good football team. I was the coach. We won a couple championships in a row. The next year, I'm like, we don't have a good team this year. We were better than most of the teams. I remember we had a big game against Lancaster, and I'm like, I don't think we're going to win this game. And I remember Brother Johnny had a pep rally. And I've never seen the movie, but it's Rudy. How many know what Rudy is, the football? And I'm like, I'll go to the pep rally. And I didn't tell the kids we couldn't win, but I'm thinking, we're going to put up a fight, but I don't see it. They're better than us. And I'm sitting there watching the movie Rudy, and he shows a little scene where they're playing somebody at home, and the coach has all the players around. He starts yelling and screaming. He says, nobody comes into our house and beats us. And Brother Esposito said, play that again. And after like four times, I'm like, he's right. Now, I still didn't think we were going to win, John, but I thought, no one comes to our, we're playing them here. I was shocked we beat them. And I'm like, guys, I knew we could do it. And then I went home and said, Lord, forgive me for lying. Say, how'd it go in the tournament? Like I expected it to go. They stomped us in the tournament. But you know, sometimes we think we can't do it, but God says, you know what? I got this. Amen. Lastly, and this is important, someone had loved the way. You see, they had lost sight of the vision of why they were out there. Not David. Look at verse 36. He's talking to Saul. Saul's embarrassed, by the way, because Saul should have been out there. And then here's this kid. By the way, you know why David was there? He was running DoorDash for his dad. His dad said, your brothers are in the battle. Get this lunch and take it out to them. And he wasn't even going to get tipped. Here he is. He's bringing food out to his brothers. And while he's out there, here comes Goliath. He's like, what's that all about? And they're like, oh, quit being. He's like, I got it. So Saul, verse 36, here's what he tells Saul. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. That's a good place to start. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Now, here's why. Look what he says. Seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. That was David's problem. How dare he despise God's army? Look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, by the way, Goliath sees him and says, you've got to be kidding me. This is embarrassing. You're going to send this kid out here, man. I am going to embarrass you guys. I'm paraphrasing here, okay? I'm taking him out. And he talks all this trash, and David gets his turn. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. And he even had an armor bearer. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He says, I'm here to fight you because you're talking against my God and I ain't putting up with it. Amen. It wasn't about, again, as I mentioned, David loved God and he wasn't going to let anybody put God down. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord. David said, this isn't about me. This isn't about necessarily him, although it's going to be in a minute when I cut his head off. This is about God. This is about disrespect of the living God, and I ain't putting up with it. He loved the way. I can think this through. I guarantee you there were other people there in the army that loved God. I know they were. But they didn't love him enough to step up. And David said, listen, what if David would have died? David would have said, he didn't think he was. And if I killed a bear and a lion, I wouldn't think so either. But he was like, he would have died doing the right thing. He said, I'm going to do the right thing. Because I love God and nobody is going to disrespect God in front of me. And all these men had lost the vision. You know what happened? They lost sight of what they were fighting for. They lost sight of why they were out there. By the way, look at the history of Israel. If you read through the historical books, the reason they won any of their battles, or the reason they lost any of their battles, was all related to their relationship with God. When they were doing the right thing, they took out enemies that were far stronger than them. And when they were doing the wrong thing, they lost to enemies who were far weaker than them. It was all related to their relationship with God. And David understood that. These guys lost sight of it. They had also lost sight of the significance of what they were doing. They lost their vision. What about us today? If we lose our love for God, that's where our battle is lost. That's it. You struggling with something today? Can I just tell you something? If you've been a Christian for a while, the reason you're struggling is because your love for God is waning. That's just it. When that is right, everything else can be right. You lose your vision. Have you lost your vision for your family? Have you ever thought what... Mothers, can I tell you something, mothers? And you're the greatest thing in the world. You put up with more nonsense than anything. Okay? You do all the right things. But have a vision for that child. It's not just to feed them, clothe them, change those... I don't know what's in those things. I've changed diapers before. We've had a lot of kids, and I didn't mind helping. Not a lot of times. I'm like, come on, how many know I'm talking about? That's not fun. But like mothers do, like, good job, mothers. Like, I can't do that. But I'm happy if I change their diaper and I didn't throw up. But look, can I say something? It's not about feeding them and all that stuff and getting them out of the house. Like, man, my child, they grew up, they graduated, they moved out of the house. Success! No, it's about what are they doing for God? What about their future? What influence can you have? Have you lost your vision for your marriage? Well, you know, me and the old guy, we're just hanging in there. I don't want to just hang in there. I don't want to come home like, ugh, can I get some overtime here? You know, it can be better. Oh, that didn't go well. It can be better. Okay, it's okay to lie. It can be better. Don't you want a better marriage? Get your vision for your marriage. We lose our vision for our relationship with God. Well, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible every now and then. No. You're supposed to have that connection with God. That's what he wants. We lose our vision for serving God and how God can use us to help others. We lose our vision for the gospel, for those of you who've been saved for a while, that we can share in our community, in this world, how Jesus Christ can save somebody. We lose our vision for our church and how God can use you to encourage fellow believers to do something truly significant. What's the message today? It's influence. The reason those guys could take out the giants is because someone had already shown them exactly how to do it. And so when the giant reared his head, it's like, it's my turn. Let's go. What example are you leaving? Who are you inspiring? Because believe it or not, all of us have some type of influence. You may not realize it. Someone's watching you. Could be your coworker. That little child in your house, they're watching you. Your spouse, they're watching you. And I'm not saying we do it to be some type of big shot. I'm just saying God's given that to us. Why don't we use it correctly? What type of Christian life? Will you lead the way when others don't? Will you light the way when things are getting dark? Will you live the way so that others may follow your example? Will you love the way so that our vision does not get extinguished? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for a minute, I want us to think about this for 1 minute. I know we're about 5 minutes longer or more than we usually are. Thank you so much. We did a lot of different special things today. But I want us to meditate for just a second. I've used it before, but Charles Barkley years ago said, I am not a role model. And then he told everybody to buy the shoes so they can play like him. And I'm not getting on him. He's not a Christian. He doesn't understand. But the fact of the matter is, all of us, to somebody, are a role model. To somebody, we're an example. You might be shocked. I wonder, when David stood up to Goliath that day, he was not thinking about Jonathan, his nephew. But Jonathan saw it. And when this guy, the exact same shape and size and strength as Goliath, got up and defied the armies, Jonathan said, my uncle did it, my turn. And he took him out. We're influences today. Mothers, you are the best influence. Fathers are important too, and we'll talk about that on Father's Day. I grew up in a single parent home. I had a dad, but he didn't live with us. Didn't see him a lot. But I had a mother that did her best to influence me. And I had my struggles, but let me just tell you this. Even as the struggles I had, I was restrained a lot because of my mom. And I saw what she did for us, and I saw how she worked and how she sacrificed. Mothers, you can have great, great influence. Fathers, you as well. Christians, you as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know what it means to be a Christian. In other words, let me ask you the question. Here it is. You don't know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that for sure. You can know that today. If you're here this morning, and nobody looking around, please, and then we'll stand for a minute. But no, if you're here and you say, Pastor, that would describe me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, with nobody looking around, would you pray for me? If you'll just put your hand up real quick, I'll pray for you, and then you can put it down. Anybody at all? Yes, up there. Yes. Yes, back there. I'll pray for you. Can we stand this morning? What kind of influence are you leaving? And I'm not saying be a phony. You understand that. God doesn't expect you. People don't expect you to be perfect. But are we laying an example there that, you know what, God is real and God can do great things in my life? The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you at all, that's why this altar is open. If you want to come pray, come now.